ओम शांति। बाबा हैज गिवन अस दिस वंडरफुल मेथड फॉर मीटिंग ईच अदर। हाउ डू ब्राह्मिन्स मीट ईच अदर? फर्स्ट इट इज थ्रू दृष्टि। So drishti means we see each other as souls. I am a soul looking at a soul. And then we greet each other with Om Shanti, which means not only a soul but a peaceful soul. So I am a peaceful soul, you are a peaceful soul, and therefore we meet each other, we greet each other with that peace inside. So once again, Om Shanti. And then sometimes, as Dadi Janki always gives this mantra 3 times. So not that I am a soul alone, but I am a peaceful soul. My home is the peaceful abode and my father is the ocean of peace. So in this way the whole knowledge is covered. We all heard Baba's Avyakt Murli yesterday, and today we will revise that Murli. If we really go into the depth of yesterday's Murli, it was mainly on 4 points. Which were those 4 points? Which on which Baba spoke? Service and self-development. Okay, 1 point. Second point. Okay, so don't leave any area without having been served. So this was the second point. Third point. Third point. Pardon? Faith. Faith in what? Take advice. Yes, if there's any obstacle, if you are not happy, if there is any problem, take advice from seniors. If you don't want to, then speak to Baba. Take power from Baba. Yeah. Because some don't like to tell anyone. They don't even want to tell the seniors. Okay, speak to Baba and take power, strength from Baba. That's the third point. Fourth point. Pardon? We have to give cooperation. We have to cooperate with everyone. That's an area, you know, for serving different areas. The first point, very important, very lovely point. These were second, third, fourth. Which was the first point? How did Baba start the Murli? Yes? Pardon, speak loudly. No, the first point, yeah, stabilize the self, that's okay, but then the main emphasis was, yes, confluence age is the time when the souls meet the Supreme Soul. it is the only time. So then of course we can elaborate on this. So these were the four main points, and a lot could be discussed, churned on these four points. For example, the first point, that this is the only time, the confluence age, when the souls meet the Supreme Soul. Just imagine. In the time has a blessing, yes. Yes. So this is the only time when souls can meet the Supreme Soul. Because this is the only time when God comes. At no other time He comes. This is so much in contrast with what people think otherwise. First of all, if you ask them, where is God? They don't know. Or they say omnipresent. And when they say omnipresent, everything about God can be misunderstood. Who God is, where He dwells, what He does, what He does not do, when He comes, everything, it will be confusing. Just because of this point of God is omnipresent. Like Baba said yesterday, God becomes as father, teacher, Sadguru. If He were omnipresent, then where is the question? How will God be the father, teacher and Sadguru? So in every Murli, Baba speaks in different ways how to, you know, speak on this point that God is not omnipresent. But God comes. Now you can elaborate a lot on this, how God comes. Many people ask so many questions about this. You know? If we tell them that God has come in the body of Brahma, then the question comes. And Baba tells in the Murlis, they say, why only this one? Why not anyone else? What's the answer to that? Why not anyone else? And Baba very humorously gave the answer in the Murli. Well, if it would be anyone else, then again the same question would arise. Why only in this one? Why not in anybody else? I mean, in whomever He would come, the same question will arise, no? So He has to come in someone. But in whose body He comes, well, that's the point of knowledge. That Baba comes in the body of that soul who has taken all 84 births. I mean, it's a big understanding of the cycle. The first one becomes the last one. And through him, God has to create. And how Brahma becomes Vishnu, because the creator then becomes the sustainer. Like parents give birth to the children, and it is the parents who have to sustain the children. It's not that somebody else will sustain. It's not birth by somebody else and sustenance by somebody else. No. The same parents have to sustain the children. So the same soul at Sangam Yug, Brahma, and in Golden Age, Sri Narayan or Vishnu. And then again many people question on this. But why not in a pure soul like a big saint or a sannyasi, why in a family man? So what answer will you give to that? I mean, Brahma Baba was not pure in his Laukik life. He had a family, children, grandchildren. I mean, he was totally in the world, no? Of course, he was a devotee and very good-natured, many values in life, very honest. That's another thing. There are many people in the world who are like that. But what is the speciality that why did God have to come in the body of a family man? Why not a pure person who has renounced everything, become a sannyasi, a saint, a sage? Pardon? Who wouldn't understand the significance? was announced everything. Yes, okay, anything else? That's later, but then Baba didn't have purity in the beginning. Of course, when Shiv Baba gave him visions at that time, that unlimited disinterest came. But otherwise he was a family man. So the very nice answer would be that God comes and establishes pure family life. God doesn't create the religion of sannyasis or what we call as hermits or those who have renounced the world. From the beginning till the end of the cycle, it is family life. Sannyasi or these hermits or recluses, that's one branch. It's not the main trunk. Because if it would be the main trunk, then the world would never, the population would never grow. So it means it's family life. And God is the biggest family man. If we go to see whose family is the largest, any human being can have a very large family, maybe as many wives, and from each wife, many children. Sometimes they show on internet, there was somebody, in which country, so many wives, and from each wife, so many children, and at least a big family of 200, so many wives and the children and the grandchildren, and many wives. I don't know which countries, but once I saw a photograph. So one man, but many wives and many children. So anybody knows? It came once in somewhere in some email. But then how big can the family be? It cannot be the whole world. But God's family is the largest family, and He's a family man, if you see in that way. So God does not create recluses or hermits or sannyasis, but He creates family. And therefore a family man is needed for this. The one who does not have experience of family life will not be able to share any experience to family men. There's a very interesting story about Adi Shankaracharya on this. Very famous story of the first Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya. There was someone who had a very big debate with him. And that person told him, "You have renounced from childhood, you don't know what family life is. How can you preach to family men? You can't preach because you don't have knowledge of family life." He was a sannyasi from childhood, he became a sannyasi, renounced home and everything. So you don't know what family life is. So how can you preach to family men? So they say that Shankaracharya was really, thinking on that I don't know what family life is. So they say, I don't know how far it's true or what it is like, but then they say that he told his people, his disciples, "Okay, I am going out of the body, and I will enter someone who has been in family life. I will enter his body and experience family life." Here it means family life means indulgence in sex. This is what it mainly means. I will enter in a family man's body and experience what family life is. Till then you keep my body. I will come back. And his body was kept. And at that time, a king had left the body. And so immediately this soul, Shankaracharya's soul, he left his body and entered the body of the king. And the king, he was dead. The whole family was crying. Everybody in the kingdom was crying. The king is dead. And all of a sudden he got up. Because the soul had, Adi Shankaracharya's soul had entered his body. And everyone was so happy that the king has become alive again. But then the queen noticed something very funny. That this king is, he's not the same. He's not the same. Of course, because the soul has the sanskars, and the king, the soul who left the body, his sanskars were different. There were worldly sanskars, you know. But this sannyasi was, even though he became alive, but then he was not liking family life, he was not liking anything, you know. He was having those sanskars of a recluse, of a sannyasi anyway. So even if he was with his wife and children and, you know, everything, but still so detached. So his wife was very, very surprised. I mean, how is this possible? Is it my husband? How can it be my husband? My husband was not like that. But then after 3 days, the king died, the soul left the body and came back in the body of Shankaracharya, his own body. And then he could debate with that person who was saying that you don't have experience of family life. You understood? This is like a story. I don't know how far it's true. But then that's what the story is in these books of sannyasis. Means Shankaracharya had so much power that he could keep his body as it was intact and then experience family life and then come back. But then we will say differently. Now, somebody can tell me also, you don't have experience of family life. How can you give knowledge to family people? How can you understand their problems? How can you solve their problems? You don't know what family life is because they have many problems in family life. So what answer should we give to that? We don't have experience, do we? I don't have. I've not bear children. I don't know really what lust is because I've seen some movies, maybe, but then nothing much. I don't have any experience. So how can I give knowledge to family men or family women, householders? So we say, well, experience is not based on only what you do. Experience can come in many ways. What you read is also an experience. You know, what you watch. Now those little, nowadays even little children, they know what sex is. Why? Because they watch TV, this, that, pictures, all that. So they know many things which earlier little children didn't know anything because they never watched on television anything like that. But now they watch. And therefore they know pornography. I mean anything on internet, anything is possible. So they have a lot of information. So watching, reading, even hearing from people, all that is part of experience. It's not that only what you, when you do is part of experience. And the biggest part is the soul already has the experience of so many births. You know? The soul has, it's not that the soul has come only for the first time in this kalpa. Even if it has come now from Paramdham in this kalpa, the few experiences which it must have had in the past kalpa, they're all there, no? In the soul. Every soul has a record of sanskars. It's all eternal, all imperishable. So we cannot say that I don't have experience. It doesn't mean that I have to have an experience, I have to do it in order to get an experience. It's just like somebody puts his finger in the fire, you know, and his finger burns. And they say, oh, you burnt your finger. But I have never experienced my finger to have been burnt. So should I go and put my finger also in the fire and see whether it burns or not? It will definitely burn. I have knowledge. So even having knowledge is enough for an experience without having really, you know, performed in action. And therefore when we tell this to people, they realize, yes, yes. And those people who come and share their experiences of their problems, their obstacles, so through that also our experience grows. Just now I was sitting with somebody, one lady had come, you know, she was not very old in Gyan, but not very new also, but I knew her. And it seems that her son committed suicide. Just I was talking about an hour ago with her. Her son committed suicide. For what reason? He didn't tell her. But maybe he was in love with a girl and that girl, you know, deceived him, went away with another boy, and this boy couldn't face it, couldn't hold it, so he committed suicide. But now, what is in her mind? She has two daughters. What if my daughters also commit suicide? What will happen? Now this is haunting her mind. Then the other mother said that this is haunting her mind. Please explain to her. Now we don't have such experiences, no? But I asked her, why is this thought coming in your mind that your daughters can commit suicide? She said, I don't know why. I said, but are they happy? They're all married. Family life, everything, the daughters are married. So are they happy? Yes, they are happy. And everything is okay, and they come and say that they are happy, because she keeps asking them, are you happy? Are you happy? And they say, yes, we are happy. Then why is haunting in your mind that my daughters may commit suicide? She says, I don't know. Please, can you help me? Tell me what I should do so that I stop thinking about this. So, like, I remembered Baba. And I said, see, first of all, why such a thought is coming in your mind? Because you are attached to your daughters. Are you attached? Very attached? Yes, yes, very attached. I'm very attached to my daughters. So whenever I see them, I don't know, this thought come, oh, they may commit suicide, because the son's impression is still in her mind. So they may commit suicide. But I said, it is because of your attachment. This attachment in you is creating such thought that they will commit suicide, they will commit suicide. First, you have to remove this attachment. Attachment is the biggest cause of this. She said, but then how can I remove my attachment? I know, Baba says it's not good. I said, the best method is, whenever you see your daughters at that time, say they belong to Baba. They are Baba's children. They are Baba's children. And then tell Baba, Baba, you take care of them. You take care of them. Why do you think they are your daughters? Do you have daughters? Who are you? You are a soul, no? She said, I'm a soul. I said, you are a soul. Then does a soul have any daughters? Soul doesn't have any daughters. So why do you think that my daughter, you are a soul and you are Baba's child, and these are also souls. That's why Baba keeps saying, look at everyone as a soul, as a soul, as a soul. And when you say commit suicide, first of all, the soul never dies. So where is the question of committing suicide? So that's, don't even think, they belong to Baba. Baba, you take care of them. Baba, they are yours. And the moment you think in this way, you will feel so peaceful. She said, yes, I never thought of that. I never thought of that, she said. I said, Baba tells in the Murlis, nothing is mine. Nothing is mine, no? What is mine? If I say I, then who am I? I'm a soul. If I say my, then who is mine? Baba. My Baba. So that's why Baba said yesterday, anything happens, say my Baba. My Baba. My Baba. If any problem, any sorrow, wah Baba, wah, last time Baba said. You know, this is how you overcome. And he said, now when you go back, when you see your daughters, don't think, oh, they are my daughters now. Baba, they belong to you. They are souls. They are Baba's. And she was so relieved, so renowned. I'm not a householder. I don't know what attachment is, really, to tell you. No attachment, really. I ask myself, am I attached to someone? No one. Though my Laukik relatives are there, of course, they phone me sometimes. But then there's no attachment. It's not that I'm remembering them, oh, so and so. No, no. My mother was sick for some years ago, and Dadiji was there, 2004 this was. And she said, no, you have to go to look after your mother. She was in the hospital. And Dadi told me, no, you must go. You must look after your mother. And, let her feed. I'm the only daughter. You know, so my mother was remembering me, and so Dadiji sent me. I said, Dadi, but how can I leave Baba's service and go? There was so much service here. Dadi said, no, you have to go, because like the doctors had said she won't live for long. She had liver cirrhosis and many problems. So I went and I stayed with her for 1 month. And I served her. But I was asking myself, am I serving because she's my mother? Or am I serving because she's a soul, you know? Then I would tell myself, no attachment. Maybe she was attached, but I would tell her, no, don't be attached. Because she was the one who took Gyan first and then she brought me to Baba. So she had Gyan, not that she did not have Gyan. But then, of course, living in the world is a different thing. So I did serve her, why not? So why not we serve our Laukiks also, but without any attachment? But we don't have experience of that worldly family life, no? But still we can serve them. And therefore, God will not enter anybody else. He will enter the body of a family man. Somebody may ask, why not a small child? The child is so pure. Why not in the body of a small child? And Baba says, the Murli is that too. We have to call him Baba, Baba, Father. How can you call a small child Baba, Father, you know, Baba, Father. How can you call a small child? So you need an aged person, an experienced person, an old man, whom you can call father, grandfather, you know, from whom you can get the love of a father and grandfather. So in this way, then somebody asked a question. You know, when Baba says you have to serve everyone, and then now when you're serving, you need money, financial problem can come, you know, anything can happen. Then what if God enters a very, very rich man? Very rich man, like Bill Gates, maybe. multi-billionaire. Brahma Baba was not that rich. Of course he was rich, but then not like a multi-millionaire. So would God enter in that person too? No. Why not? Because if God would enter in that person, one person was enough to serve the whole world. You know? He has so much money. To serve the whole world, then how will each one's drop be used for the service of the world? Because each one's contribution is needed. If only one person contributes, then how will a kingdom be established? Each one's contribution is necessary. So each drop makes an ocean. And therefore Baba says, each one has to serve through body, mind, wealth. So one person is not enough. I mean, one person won't do. Otherwise, he will take the kingdom of golden age. That's all. What about the others? So even that won't work. Then somebody may say, why not God come in a big politician? His one word will be announced to the whole world, you know? Like the President of America, for example. God enters in his body. And whatever he'll say, it will be announced to TV and radio, newspaper. The whole world will know in 1 second whatever the President of America speaks. So why can't God come in that one? Yes? Pardon? So what is your answer? Well, first of all, an answer with the basis of knowledge, that the souls of Lakshmi Narayan are the first souls of the golden age. At this time, they are very incognito. They don't have a very, very big role to play in today's world. This is also very important. They don't have a big role to play. They are in their ordinary forms, in their incognito forms. You know, they show in the Mahabharata, the Pandavas, that they were sent into exile like. And for 1 year, they were told that you should not be visible anywhere. If you are visible, and the Kaurava said, if we come to know that you are here, then again you'll have to spend another 13 years of exile. You know, so 12 years they were open, but 1 year they had to go into exile. And if they did not, then again another year of exile. So they were totally in incognito state. They were working in some kingdom under some king, and you know, one part of Draupadi became the servant of that one, and the other Pandav became a cook. You know, like that. In one kingdom they were staying, very incognito. So Baba says, at this time, the souls of golden age are really in a very incognito way. So no big roles to play in the world today. They won't be very big scientists, they won't be very big politicians, they won't be very rich people, they won't be in the list of the multi-millionaires, you know, very incognito. And it is they who are going to establish the golden age, because they've had their time in the golden age. You know, again, this is how it is so impartial that golden age souls, the Lakshmi Narayan, now after they have gone through that Lakshmi Narayan stage, so when they come in the next birth, they are less than the other ones, no? The other Lakshmi Narayan. Then the other second Lakshmi Narayan are less than the third Lakshmi Narayan. So it's like this. And Baba sometimes says that those who become servants in golden age, maybe at the end of silver age they can get some kingdom, maybe they become a king. And at that time, what about those souls who are Lakshmi Narayan in the first birth, where will they be? In the royal family, but not as sovereigns, no? So the other ones who were servants in golden age, they are now sovereigns at the end of silver age. And then, how the other souls who come from the soul world, they get the top posts and they are masters. And what happens to the deity souls? They become more and more ordinary devotees, bhagats. Baba says the ones who have done more bhakti, they are the ones who were the top in golden age, and they do the maximum bhakti, and then they come to Baba and they get all the knowledge. So it's like that. Like Brahma Baba, we say, first Narayan, then the first devotee, and the first man in whom God enters. So this is also very interesting. I remember one very beautiful scene with Brahma Baba. I always share this, that I came to Baba with my mother at the age of 12 when I came to Madhuban. So in that time Madhuban was not like this, so small it was. And it was in 1960 when I first came to Madhuban with my mother. And Baba used to sit with everyone on the swing. Everyone, every group. So each group would sit with Baba on the swing and Baba would chat with them. So Baba sat in the middle, my mother on this side and I on this side. I was only 12 years old. So Baba asked me a question. Child, with whom are you swinging? I said, I'm swinging with Baba. Then Baba asked, who else is with you on the swing? Then I said, my mother. My mother is with me on the swing. Then Baba asked again, who else? I said, Baba, no one else. Baba said, think again. Who else is with you on the swing? I said, no Baba, just Baba, my mother and myself. You know, like a little child, of course. I didn't have that much knowledge at that time. Then Baba told me some deep secret of Gyan. Baba said that when you are swinging with Baba, at that time have this awareness, this intoxication, that I am swinging with three highest personalities of the world. Who are those three highest personalities? Means in the soul of Brahma Baba, three highest personalities. Which are those three highest personalities? The first deity, the one who becomes Sri Krishna. So first deity soul. Now the same, the first, you can say devotee also. Okay, the first devotee who started devotion. And now the first human being. Now Brahma would be the last human being and the first, no? Because it's the confluence age. So last and the first, through whom God establishes the new world. And fourthly, again Baba said, yes, also the great, 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 great grandfather. So you are swinging with that one. And immediately I got so intoxicated, I'm swinging with the highest and high personality. So this is what we mean to say, that in whose body will God enter? And therefore, Baba said, this is the time, the meeting of souls with Supreme Soul. So in whom should God come to meet His children? The souls can't reach God. The souls have become impure. And Father is the purest of all. But how will that purest Father reach His impure children? The children can't reach Him. They can't fly. The wings are broken, Baba says, of the souls. So the Father has to come down. And He comes down only at this time. So Sangam Yoga is the period when the souls meet the Supreme Soul. But how will He come? He needs a body. Because we are in the body. So He has to become like us in order to meet us. And I give that little example, like a child is small. He is hardly 2 feet tall. And the father is 6 feet tall. Now the child wants to reach the father. You know, sometimes little children do like this, daddy, daddy, you know, he wants to reach the father. Now how can the child reach the father on his own? He's too small. The father is so tall. So how will the child reach the father? What does the father do? He bends down and picks up the child. Picks up the child and then sometimes maybe he throws him in the air also. But the child is so happy, so happy. He's not afraid I may fall because he knows he is very safe in his father's hands. So, and then the father will make him sit on his shoulders. And he'll say, see son, you are not taller than me. You are taller than me. And the son thinks, oh, I'm taller than my father. But he doesn't realize that he's sitting on his father's shoulders. So this is the father's love for the child. Now yesterday Baba asked, have you experience of the father, the experience of the love of the father? And did all of you raise your hand? Yes, you all raised? Do you have experience of God's love? What is your experience of God's love? Say, anybody wants to say? What is your experience? Like I shared my experience, sitting with Baba and then Baba making me so intoxicated. Oh, I was experiencing God's love. So, how do you feel God's love? Huh? When He gives us the right directions, that is His love. Okay? Very good. He tells us what we have to do. This is because He has love for us. It's because of His love for us that He tells us what we have to do, which is good for us, which is right for us, which will elevate us. What else? In what other way do we experience God's love? Because it's not physical love, no? Physically, okay, you may, the child is kissed, the child is pampered, the child is, little children, how they are given so much love. They hold the parents hold the cheek and hold the chin and, dress them up, make them wear very good clothes and give them very good food. Now, in that way, are we experiencing God's love? How are we experiencing God's love? Pardon? Amrit Vela. You are at Baba's lap. Okay. Raise your hand high. Okay. Do you take it only in a physical way? Lap and holding and this. Anything more deep? An experience of God's love? Feeling of realization of the self. Okay, realization of the self is experiencing God's love. Okay, very good. What else? He makes us tension free. Okay, means Baba's words. Baba's words. Now, in which words really make us feel Baba's love? First of all, the praise Baba gives us, all the points of self-respect. Every murli, you'll see every avyakt murli, which is the first sentence? Baba is looking at such children. Yesterday also Baba said, Baba is seeing which children? Those who have self-respect. What did Baba say? Who are in their stable stage. So the first sentence specially emphasizes how much love Baba had, because he is seeing us in that elevated form. I love it. I love the first sentence of every Murli. Why I love it? Because actually I can't translate that sentence until the sentence is completed. Because in English, the verb comes at the beginning. Baba is looking at, Baba is meeting, or whatever Baba has to say, he's doing. And in Hindi, the verb comes at the end. So, Baba --, bachchon ko dekh rahe hai, mil rahe hai. So, what he is doing with the children? Meeting them, looking at them, admiring them, praising them, whatever. But that verb comes at the end. And in English, the verb comes at the beginning. So, I have to wait for the verb to come before I translate the Murli. And in the meantime, while Baba is praising, I'm writing. Somebody asked me, why do you write? I said, it's okay, do you write the whole Murli? Somebody asked me when you're translating. I said, no, I don't have to write the whole Murli in order to translate. Just the verb I need. And if I forget all the praise Baba has given to the children, and I'm waiting for the verb, and then I use the verb but I've forgotten all what Baba has spoken. So I have to write. But see, the very first phrase, very first sentence is expressing of love for the children. Yeah. Even now in Lokik family also, you see if the child is not very intelligent, not very smart, nothing. But for a mother, that child is the best child. There's a story about Akbar and Birbal. You know Akbar and Birbal stories in India we learn. So Akbar told Birbal once, go and find out in my kingdom the most beautiful child. Most beautiful child. And I want to know it tomorrow. The most beautiful child, you bring that child to me. I want to see him in my kingdom. And Birbal said, yes, why not? And next day he brought his own child. His child was very ugly, not very beautiful. Not very beautiful, no? A small child. And he brought his own child to Akbar. Akbar said, yeah, you call this one beautiful? He said, but it's my child, and for me, this child is the most beautiful one. So beauty lies in the eyes of the seer, no? It's not really what beautiful is, but what is the eyes of the seer. So for a mother, who's the most beautiful child? It's her own child, no? So we are God's children. And how God expresses His love for His children? By showering all the praise on the children. This is the most beautiful way of expressing love. And then after that, which is the other other way of expressing love? When you are listening to Baba's Murli and Baba praising the children, at that time, do you feel Baba's love? Yes? So that's the love. And next, how do you feel Baba's love? You know, when the mother or father will tell the child, child, see, if you come first, I will give you a bicycle. I will give you a bicycle. I will give you this. I will give you that. It's like a temptation. But in that temptation also, there is so much love. But then there's a condition. I will give you only when you do this. And the child thinks, oh, if I do it, I will get this from my mother, from my father. And the child will do it. So Baba also tempts us, doesn't he? Children, if you make effort, you will become the sovereign of golden age, the sovereign of the world. You will be this, you will be that. So what is that? Isn't that love? Isn't that God's love? Yes, that's love. Then third, what is the third one? God doesn't use law, He uses only love. Baba says, Dharamraj will punish you. Dharamraj will punish you. Means Baba will not punish you. He gives only love. It's like the child is very naughty. Now the child is naughty. Now mother wants to make the child understand. The child is naughty. But still the mother has great love for the child. So what will the mother do? She'll say, see, if you don't behave properly, daddy will beat you. She will not say, I will beat you. But daddy will beat you. And maybe he's afraid of daddy. He's not afraid of mommy. He's afraid of daddy only. Mommy gives only love. And therefore, daddy will beat you. Oh, daddy will beat me. And therefore, I should behave myself properly. I will beat you. The child knows my mommy will never beat me. She only loves me. So Baba doesn't say that I will punish you. See? No, he gives only love. But Dharamraj will punish you. So this is also a sign of love. This too is a sign of love. It's not that God is really threatening us or He's frightening us and all that. It's a sign of love so that children may change. So again, how much love? That's why Baba says the whole Murli, what is the Murli? It's a love letter. What is the Murli? We read the Murli with so much love. So it's God's love for the children. Whatever He tells us, it's His love for the children. And that's how we feel God's love. Yes? Speak loudly, huh? What will be normal? We could feel the difference. When Shiv Baba would come in the body of Brahma, we could feel the difference immediately. Baba would become like a lighthouse, so powerful. But even otherwise, Baba was very loving, very loving. Oh, the difference is because Baba has become angelic, no? Even the voice is different. Why? Because angelic voice is different. Baba is no more in the corporeal form. You know, somebody asked a question, why does the voice change? Why does the voice change? And Baba gave the answer, because Baba speaks in a whisper. Angelic world is a world of whisper only. There's no sound there. You know, it's like that. So when it comes to the microphone, the voice can be distorted because it's a very soft voice, not a normal voice. Because it is the whisper of the angelic world. You understand? See, somebody may say, but how do people understand each other? How do you understand? How does Gulzare understand? Because there's no sound. And it's a very simple answer. How do you understand each other in dreams? When you're dreaming, and in that dream you're talking to somebody and that one is answering you and, you know, talking to each other. And you understand. How do you understand? There's no sound. Is there sound or no? Or there is no sound? Next time you dream, you think of it. At that time, there's no sound. Still you're understanding each other. How are you understanding without the sound? Thought level. So in subtle region also it is thought level. That is why each trance messenger is different. Each message is different. Because the thought level of each one is different. Understanding is different. And therefore Baba would say that, you know, the one who is very powerful yogi, if that one is a trance messenger, then that's a very good message. Sometimes even Maya can enter in trance experiences because the soul becomes bodiless and Maya can also enter, and it's not really Baba. Therefore we have to be very careful, and that's why many used to have trance experiences, but then many would be seeing all mixed things, their own thoughts also instead of just Baba's thoughts. So Baba stopped any type of this visions and trance experiences. Only restricted souls, the really experienced souls, yogi souls, they are told to go into trance and bring a message. Sometimes even if somebody would bring a message, Baba would verify with another trance messenger. You go and ask again. Maybe it's not right. Like that. So these are different. So when Baba comes, it is actually like a whisper. And therefore, We have to hear it in that way. In some, and on the platform, you know, on the stage, actually there's no speaker. So those on the stage can't hear anything of Baba. But we in the audience can hear everything because Baba speaking through the mic and the speakers, so the speakers we can hear. But there are no speakers on the stage. So on the stage nothing is heard. We can't keep the speakers on the stage because again there'll be a whistle, you know, because of the mic. So if you are speaking near the mic, then the whistle will come. This microphone, if I put near the speaker, it will be a big whistle, big sound. And therefore, they have to put headphones sometimes, you know, and go very close to hear Baba. Understand? So this was the meeting of the souls with the Supreme Soul. And the next point, already 6:25. And then Baba said, ever ready in both service and self. Ever ready. Because anything will happen suddenly. Baba has been warning us a lot about anything happening suddenly. Baba will not tell beforehand. But everything is for the benefit. I once tell a very interesting incident of Baba. Once Baba came to the class with Sakar Baba and he asked the children, are all of you Trikal Darshi? All of you are knowers of three aspects of time? Yes. Everyone said, yes Baba, we are. Okay, tell what will happen tomorrow? Then how are you Trikal Darshi? Trikal Darshi means knower of three aspects of time. Past, present, future. So do you know what will happen tomorrow? Yes? No? How are you Trikal Darshi? Tell. What's the answer? It's an answer of knowledge, nothing to do with anything practical. Answer of knowledge. Pardon? Yeah, what is that unlimited way? Acha, in that way. Little more simpler than that. Don't take it on a very big way, small. What's the point of knowledge? Tomorrow is better. Okay, today is good, tomorrow will be better. So this is how we understand that whatever will happen, you know, the answer is, do you know what will happen tomorrow? The answer is, whatever will happen will be beneficial. This is the answer. What is the answer? Whatever may happen, let it be anything which may happen, it is going to be beneficial. This is knowing the three aspects of time. That is why it is said the essence of the Gita is also like that. Yesterday, what happened yesterday was good, what is happening today is better, and what will happen tomorrow will be the best. So there's nothing which is ever bad in this world. It's always for the best. Everything is beneficial. So in this way we are Trikal Darshi. Because we know whatever will happen, it will be the best. Pardon? Yeah. Well, another very interesting thing happened once. Once Baba told the children, asked the children, whatever Baba tells you, you will do. Will you do what Baba tells you? Whatever Baba tells you, ready to do it? Baba says, yes Baba, whatever you tell us, we'll do it. Sure? Whatever Baba tells you, will you do it? And again Baba asked, and everybody said, yes Baba. Then Baba asked, supposing I tell you, go and jump in the well. Will you do it? Will you do it or no? Yes or no? You said, I will do whatever Baba tells me, no? Yes or no? Nobody, everybody was quiet because they didn't know what to answer. Then Baba said, don't you have that faith that Baba will never tell you to do that? You got it? How? Baba will never tell you. But why did Baba say this? Just to test you. You should say, Baba, you will never tell us this. Say that. Why didn't you say that? And then everybody realized the mistake. Anyway, so ever ready. And of course then, any obstacles, approach your seniors, whomever you trust, whomever you have faith in, whomever you wish to, or just speak to Baba. But don't allow that obstacle to remain in you. Don't allow that thing to worry you. Tell it out. Or tell to Baba. And if you do something wrong, repent it. And then just tell Baba and then forget about it. Don't allow it to be a burden in you. Otherwise you'll not be able to fly, you'll not be able to meditate, you'll not be able to stay happy. Okay, Om Shanti, I must finish because now 6:30 meditation, more people are coming. Okay, any questions? No? So you got the essence of the whole Murli? Okay, Om Shanti. I can see some new ones. From where are you? Achha, from India. Okay. All those from China, raise your hand. Okay. All those from Vietnam, raise your hand. Okay. All from USA, raise your hand. This one, two. Anybody from Australia? Australia. Australia. UK? Okay. Which other countries? Malaysia? Malaysia, anybody? Acha, Malaysia. Caribbean? You from? Next to Sister. Yeah, from? Yeah, you. From? Yeah. Third row, huh? From where are you? Third row. Yeah, you who raised your hand, no? From Egypt. Okay, yeah, Egypt. First soul from Egypt. Come here. First child from Egypt. We welcome you from Egypt. First Baba's child. We have a good center in Egypt? How is the situation? It's quite tense, no? How is the situation there in Egypt? Okay? Everything okay? We have a good center in Egypt, in which? Cairo? Cairo? Okay. And you are from? Where are you from? Huh?